B-Pod Studios.
Are you ready for this? This is Felk and Matt.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wick, I know you can't go into a lot of detail, but a lot of people out there are saying this seems harsh a whole year. Paul Pierce tweeted this should be a fine. Is there any information you can give us to open a window into how you came to this decision, and did it descend into sexual harassment?
So on the second part, I don't have the ability to venture into the conclusions of our legal analysis, but I would say on the first part, we have reflected as a group and with outside advisors and a diverse group, in fact, of people deciding really what to do, which I take ultimate responsibility for at the Celtics, everything that is decided. But I personally feel that this is well-warranted and appropriate, backed by substantial research and evidence and facts. And so I'm standing by the decision, and Ime has accepted it and has expressed, in fact, appreciation. I don't want to belabor that, but he's been accepting of it, and he's planning to move forward on this basis. So we are over here. We are suspending him for the year, and it's in place, and we're moving forward.
Our two Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Again, our title sponsor, the DraftKings Sportsbook, remains here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. More from Wick Grosbeck and Brad Stevens' press conference today on the Udoka situation. We'll get to some other stuff later on this hour, so you want to call on this? I think now would be the time to do it. Do you have a quick leadoff thought, Matt?
Yeah, just quickly, because we haven't talked about the fact that Udoka apparently is not losing his entire salary. Right, there was a comment made by Wick Grosbeck in that press conference today where he said, well, it's a significant fine or something to that effect. My guess is this was all part of the negotiation. That it was, well, remember yesterday we heard I'm not going to resign. Okay, well, you're not getting all your money either. Maybe there's something in the coaches' union contract about the maximum a coach can lose if he is suspended for any length of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were clearly some, you know, there's clearly some variable and some negotiation that went at play. And the fact that Udoka issued the statement he did acknowledging wrongdoing, maybe that was part of the deal. You'll get a little bit of your money, but you got to admit this. And that, so it was all part of the negotiation.
Yeah. Where they are today was negotiated.
Definitely.
That I think you can bank on. All right, back to your phones here as promised. Johnny in Brooklyn. Go, John.
Yeah, guys, thanks. You know, Brad Stevens gets up today. Sounds like he's going to cry talking about how hard yesterday was. And you guys talked about what could they have done differently. Listen, that press conference today where they said next to nothing needed to be held yesterday. And as far as Shaughnessy maybe having some stuff coming out, they got to backroom that guy and tell him what happened, because as long as we don't know what really happened, that's where we're going to have all this speculation and people saying that the Celtics are wrong, or even Al Horford's sister saying that they did this to him out of a race thing. We need to know what happened, and that's got to come out. I know it will. Anyway, you guys are the best. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, maybe they'll leak it to make sure everyone knows exactly what happened and what they had to do. I don't know.
No, we'll find out enough.
Feels like we will find out enough. Again, TMZ is on the case. Doug in Dover. Go, Doug.
Hey, Mike, you know, Udoka's gone, and Brad and Wick sit there today like they're all high and mighty, and this is, you know, we have a standard in the Celtics that we're going to maintain. And what are we doing? We're replacing the guy with somebody who had similar problems in college. So, like, what are we doing, replacing one bad apple with another bad apple?
We don't know if they're similar.
He said that this is, well, they say it is.
No, they don't. No. There were problems, but they weren't similar. I mean, the putting his hands around a woman's neck in a bar as a college kid, no good, believe me. Like, and that's the one that stands out. I don't know if that's similar to what Udoka did or not. It's not good, but I don't know. I just don't know how to answer that. I don't know. So Joe Mazzulla should never get a job for as long as he lives?
Well, right, exactly. What's the statute of limitations on stupidity when you're a teenager?
I mean,
or a 20-year-old? I don't know.
I mean, should Udoka not get a job for as long as he lives? I don't believe that. I believe he should have a chance to atone and repent, whatever, and better himself and come back. People deserve second chances. So I don't know. Mazzulla did that as a college kid. Was he 20? Now he's 34? 14 years? I mean, you tell me. So he should never get another job?
I mean, maybe he went into rehab. I don't know. I have no idea. The stories I could tell you about what I saw during World Series parties would, you know, I would just say well-known people leaking out of windows onto the street.
So, well, I mean, the public urination thing is easily forgivable, I would think.
Who among us?
Look, if Mazzulla runs into trouble like this, then, yeah, that's an easy second guess. Did you really take a look at him? Keys in Boston on Mazzulla. Go ahead, Keys.
Yeah, just quickly, so refreshing to have a Boston radio station that actually sets straight racist callers as opposed to employ them and celebrate it like a different station in the past. But, yeah, I think when you all say coaching is overrated, I think you're not talking about coaching in a holistic way. Coaching isn't for eggheads or the nerds. Communication and relationships is a critical part of coaching. It's not just X's and O's. We shouldn't talk about it like it's a nicety or an aside. That's the reason why nerds can't coach. It's the reason why statisticians can't walk into a classroom and teach algebra, right? And to that end, and the same is in teaching, when a teacher leaves, it's not always the best choice to hire another qualified teacher. Sometimes the person that is in the room.
Keys, you got to help me.
Support person.
Yes. So what's your point?
So maybe a support person who knows the kids well is also the best choice. They may not have the same experience, Mazzulla, but if he knows the players well, like you know the kids well, he may be the best person for the job. They had the same thing about Ty Lue when Ty Lue had 3 years.
Sure.
And then Coach LeBron.
All right, let me just cut you off. So clearly, the Mazzulla's relationship with the players or connection with the players it has to be key.
Paramount. Probably the number one decision why he has the job, to be totally honest.
If the players hated him, he wouldn't be in the job. So, and that's obviously an important thing.
Yeah, look, again, he could work out. I'll tell you, I am somewhat reassured by the fact that he was interviewed by Utah. Like, that tells me at least another organization, even if it was Ainge.
Ainge, okay? Who knows him, obviously.
Right, okay, but at least he was someone else looked at him as head coaching material before this. So, you know, that makes me think, okay, the guy's got a little bit of a reputation being good. He's smart. Or he's in touch.
This is a whole, but his ascension has opened up this whole new thing for me that I never knew existed. They call him a back of the bench coach.
Yeah.
You know, there's
second row.
Second row coach. He's a second row coach. He's not a first row coach. I even thought of this. But it's like there's so many assistants, they have to put some of them in back in the second row. Like next to Jay Stu sitting courtside. And it's like the importance of coaches are in the first row. And then the scrubs are in the second row. I say that tongue-in-cheek-ish. And it's like, this guy wasn't even in the front row.
Oh, yeah, second row.
So he comes from the second row next to Stu to the guy. Like, oh, God. Like, look, if Mazzulla has off-the-court problems, I'll second-guess them not vetting him harder. Like, that's fair. But I don't think that's going to be a problem. I just don't. But I will say, I am going to second guess, man, could you have found a greener, more, and I say green, I mean inexperienced guy than this?
What, two seasons at Fairmount State in Division II? That's not qualifications to be head coach of the Boston Celtics?
That's his only head coaching experience.
It's unbelievable.
At Division II, I mean, a school you've never heard of out there, unless you're Joe Murray and you bet you're a degenerate and you bet Division II hoops. And no one's ever heard of that thing. 2 years and that's it. The rest of it was just assistants at Maine or assistants at another Division II school in West Virginia. Like, for Pete's sake.
Al Horford's older than him, right?
And more qualified.
Maybe, yeah, they should make Horford play a coach.
One more here. Rob in Ohio. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, how you doing? I believe the coach whose name I have a hard time pronouncing, I believe that the Celtics knew about this a longer time ago than July.
Me too.
And I believe that they confronted him and told him that you will not tarnish the Celtics organization. If something comes out down the road.
Yeah, do you think, I just have to cut you off. Do you think they really talk like that?
No.
When they're not at a microphone?
No.
Like, come on. They don't talk like that. like a fan, the Celtics organization, and Wick does at a press conference. They'll lay it on thick there. Don't you think at some level they actually sometimes talk like human beings? And so what he would really say is, Ime, what the hell are you doing, man? Let's go. Let's keep it in our pants. Like, that was probably the first conversation. And, like, Ime, be careful here, man. What are you doing? And I would like to think there was an actual real conversation there, not the thing you're talking about. But my guess is, again, Matt Barnes, deep, messy, 100 times worse than we thought. So I bet there were levels of it. I bet there was a whiff of something early, and then there was a certain level of acceptance because all the shenanigans goes on in pro sports all the time. So, okay. And then it gets to the level of, Ime, what are you doing? And then it gets to the next level, and now they're here, which they never, believe me, I bet they let a lot go that they're probably not happy with in hindsight. Would just be a guess because they don't want to be here.
Look, as you said yesterday, the line for this sort of thing is pretty far out there. Like, for, you know, given the world of pro sports, there's a certain amount that you're going to tolerate. You have to, or you'll have no team. So start there. And then, you know, and my guess is the one thing the caller said that I will agree with is the whole idea that this was before July, and I agree.
Oh, it has to be. So listen, hold on. I'm just reaching for something. You think that was hot? You think we've been smoking so far?
Ooh.
It's time for this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're watching the simulcast, you know what I'm talking about.
I got to bring back the smoke machine.
Okay. Here comes some real heat. Patriots-Ravens preview right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm just sort of painting a picture.
Felger.
I love the guy.
And Mass.
Think they take him in the back room?
95. The Sports Hub.
Now Mac Jones takes the snap and drops to the knee. And the Patriots.
All right.
Will even their record. 20 seconds to lapse off the clock as New England comes into Pittsburgh today with the Steelers, who had the 5 takeaways from Cincinnati last week and won it in overtime. Have their home opener spoiled by New England. The Patriots. Turning it over once, taking it away twice, including a muff punt that led to a touchdown. And ultimately the difference, a field goal this afternoon in Pittsburgh.
Here we go, Mazzy.
He's Mr. Bob Sunsi. He's got hot takes.
He's miserable.
And he thinks that Felger and Mass,
yeah, watch your fingers,
are just a couple of snakes.
He's Mr. Bob Sosi. He's 5 foot fun.
He's 5 foot one.
Here comes a take that'll scorch you like the sun.
I've forgotten the words, which is too bad. We got to get back into it. It's been a while. The voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Sosi, joining us still via Zoom. Can't get his little tush in here, can we?
Yeah, apparently he won't fit through the door.
Bob is brought to you by Idea Painting, Sosi and Maz's Concrete Flooring Company. So both you, Bob, and Maz use Idea Painting.
Yeah, they did. They resurfaced my garage floor. You should see it. You can play hockey on that thing.
Again, Idea Painting. Visit IdeaConcreteCoatings.com to book your new concrete garage or patio floor today. How you doing, Roberto?
I'm doing great. Tony's garage, slightly bigger than mine. but looking forward to the chance we can compare, Tony, and maybe, you know, celebrate over a cup of Bigelow tea as well.
Yeah, I bet you don't slip on your floor, though, Bob, because you're closer to the ground.
Oh, and it's good to be with you guys again, especially the guy that literally wrote the book on how great our sports teams have been over the last 2 decades after telling me how much they've sucked.
That's
over
enough,
the last 2 decades.
That's enough grab ass.
It truly enough grab ass, but that book is the great irony of our time. How do you feel about your football team, Bob?
They're 1-1, home opener on Sunday. Should be an exciting day to be back at Gillette Stadium for the first time in a month.
Bob, do you feel like they are like there was a significant improvement in week 2 from week 1 to week 2?
I think there was improvement, certainly, in a lot of different ways, Tony. I think the defense has played well in both games. I think in particular, something that's not being talked about a lot is how well they've played up front defensively in both the run and pass. Granted, the Steelers have struggled running the ball the last couple of years, but nonetheless, I think the Patriots have done a good job defensively at the line of scrimmage. And certainly the defense has been good the first two games, and we saw strides offensively, certainly from week one to week two.
All right, Bob Soucy, I was going to ask you this, but why don't we let a caller do it, because he's been online holding for it. Big T and Everett. Go ahead, Big T and Everett. What do you got?
Mike, how you doing? Mike, hey, question. I really wanted to call the player Perilla was there, but I missed yours the other day.
Big T, just ask the question, please.
Okay, the question is, I feel as though, and my buddies feel as though, you blame it on the play calling too much. Patricia and Judge, they're Belichick guys. Of course they take the job and do the best they can. He's a defensive guy. My question to you is this. Do you think that Jones looks like the same type of player, and that's just for you too, that he was last year?
Okay. For
incredible reads.
All right, Big T, I can't take your phone. Oh. Has Mac Jones taken a step back, Bob?
Well, has Mac Jones not looked as good in the first 2 weeks of this season compared to the way he started last year? And I think back to last year, what I most remember really for him early in the season was the game against Tampa Bay more than the others. Miami, he played well, certainly in week one. I think there's a lot of factors when we evaluate the quarterback through two games. I mean, we've heard all offseason long about the unorthodox way the Patriots are doing things.
I hate to interrupt you, but I don't feel like you answered the question. Has Mac Jones taken a step back?
I think Mac Jones has looked uneven, Mike, through the first two games. But I think there are a lot of factors that are involved in that. I don't think in evaluating the quarterback position of this team right now, you have to evaluate it as a whole. Certainly, he's made a couple of throws that he's either regretted or has been fortunate to have back. I think that there's some things about him in terms of maybe being rushed at times. We've seen that I think was unusual compared to what we've seen in the past. Yet at the same time, I think his pocket movement and the way he's navigated, I think the leadership skills, the things we're hearing from his teammates are all consistent with why they believed he had a bright future at the end of last season and why they believe he had a good rookie year. But I think there's a lot of different factors involved in quarterback play. I don't think it's as easy as saying it's him, especially when, you know, so much of the conversation all off season long and really through the first week and a half of the year going into the Pittsburgh game was about things that surround Mac Jones and are there to support him.
Okay, so Bob, I think we all agree the preseason was not, you know, good. It wasn't good. I mean, camp wasn't good. The preseason games weren't good. The offense had a lot of difficulty. Is he still recovering from that?
Well, there's one thing, too. I mean, I don't know how significant the back issue was coming off the Miami game, the fact that he did get through, the week. He missed practice in the process. So, you know, when we talk about recovery, that you know, certainly that comes to mind, the literal recovery from that situation. But, yeah, Tony, I think they're going through growing pains. And I think as an offense, they're trying to find their way. I think last week that they took a step in that direction, both as a coaching staff and as an offensive unit on the field. And I think the quarterback is part of that. So I do think that, when you go back to training camp and you go back to the preseason, they did things a lot differently. It's not just the play calling and the actual plays they were running out there, but just the structure of training camp. We certainly didn't see a lot of things early in the padded practices that we had seen in the past. And I think that there has been a long period of time of getting, on the same page on the offensive line for the quarterback as well, getting, familiar and comfortable with the whole situation, the setup and confident. I mean, you go from Josh, who really did a great job in developing Mac for the first year, to the current situation, and then there's going to be some growing pains.
Okay, Bob, do we have just a couple quick minutes left? So yeah. Two things, we'll get to them. One is injuries. Feels like there are a couple of notable ones. Duggar, big, maybe Mills. Maybe update us today. And the biggest one to me is Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what are we looking at there with all those guys?
I think all those are huge. I think when you go back to the last time they met Baltimore, now granted, much different circumstances, did a great job in a downpour against the Ravens. Not really the same Ravens team that they faced in 2019 in a lot of respects. But Kyle Duggar in that 2020 game played very well for the Patriots. He was the first guy that Belichick highlighted after the game, had 12 tackles, very good around the line of scrimmage. And I think against the Ravens, in this game. You've got to be able to contain Lamar and prevent the huge plays, whether it's him running or passing, the yards after the catch. So if you don't have Duggar and if Mills is banged up, those are two guys that, you know, two of your most reliable players in the secondary. You've got to be able to tackle, prevent yards after the catch. And I also think of the tight end. For me, when Lamar Jackson needs a play, he's going to go to Mark Andrews when he's got to have it. And to me, it starts with defending Andrews, a 1,000-yard receiver last year for the Ravens. That's his guy that he's going to look to, I think, in a tight spot. And certainly the safeties play a big part of that for the Patriots. And then on the flip side, the Patriots got to score points in this game. The Ravens are going to get theirs. But the Patriots have got to score points to be more productive. They scored only four series thus far this season. And talking about Jones and the Patriots offense, well, Jacoby Myers has been his security blanket. He's the third down guy to keep drives alive. He was the most targeted player last week against Pittsburgh. Aguilar, you know, had the big catch downfield, but, you know, again, when they had to have it, it's Jacoby who's the primary target.
What's his status, Bob?
Well, he hasn't practiced all week. He was out there again today, but based on some of the reports that I've heard, and I have not seen the injury report, is very similar to what we saw the other 2 days of practice this week for both him and Kyle Duggar, where they were out there present and accounted for, but, you know, maybe not as active as their other teammates.
Okay, and again, to jump in.
Mike, you go back to the Raiders game in the preseason. He was injured in that game and on the injury report all week before the Miami contest as well.
So that's what I was getting to. I half wondered if they clubbed him over the knee to shut him up because he told Giardi last week that I question the offensive game plan sometimes, but you're saying he's been battling this for a while.
Yeah, he's been battling the injury, I think the knee injury, going back to the Vegas game. And at the end of the Pittsburgh game last week, I think on a couple of the plays toward the end of the series, including the final run by Damian Harris, it doesn't look like the typical Jacoby Myers out there trying to block. It looked like he might have been favoring, I think it was the left leg, having rewatched the game as well. And I don't think that there's anything to club Jacoby over the head with.
No, not head, knee. You kneecap him to shut him up. Did you have one more thought?
I did not.
Okay. Bob, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We look forward to the call Sunday at 1.
All right, guys. All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bob Sosie joins us for his weekly stint. Here's an update from Matt McCarthy. When we come back, we got a quick take on Aaron Judge's home run chase and your phone, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
He doesn't ask much of the audience.
Okay, but play with me.
Except to love him.
The worst sign in New England sports is you.
Mass. The quiet half of Felger and Mass. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Aaron Judge, center field, way back, Bob Hernandez is there. Two down in the ninth. About as deep as you could hit it without hitting it out at Yankee Stadium.
I mean, I thought this ball had a legitimate chance when he hit it. And you're right. Straight away, he was hoping for just a little bit more.
Albert Pujols did that earlier tonight as well. At 698, he had a fly ball that nearly left the yard. You can see Aaron Judge. He felt like he was so close to getting the record-tying homer right there.
That happened last night. We have some thoughts on Aaron Judge and his home run chase. Maz, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So Alex Cord indicated before the game the Red Sox were going to pitch to Judge, you know, be aggressive. Then they went out and walked him on four pitches in his first at-bat.
Weasels.
They walked him three times in the game.
Weasels.
Now, Waka also struck him out one time, and that at-bat there, obviously, against Matt Barnes, he hit it to the warning track in center field. But I wouldn't say they pitched him aggressively. I mean, they walked the guy three times. And you know what sort of this occurred to me this morning? I don't know why I missed it. As sort of a side thing, those don't count as at-bats. So his batting average wasn't affected much, which means he went 0-for-2 and became the American League batting leader ahead of Xander Bogaerts because he made fewer outs. So if they're going to pitch him passively, they may cost Bogaerts the batting title if you care about that. And I'm just tossing that out there.
Yeah.
But they did not pitch him aggressively last night. They did not.
I wonder if they care about it because Bogaerts is out of the lineup tonight. And I wonder how many times he's going to be out of the lineup over the next couple of weeks here. Try and win him the batting title.
Okay. Weasel move, walking him. What's your judge take there, McCarthy?
I think the whole thing has been awesome. I mean, I've watched every single one of these at-bats. I think a lot of people have done that. And I think you've been locked in. I think it's great theater for baseball. It's fantastic. I mean, whether or not you care about whether 61 means what it once did and it doesn't, but still, it's great. It's fantastic. I jumped out of my seat last night because I thought I was about to watch him hit 61. And they're putting the game on Apple TV tonight.
Preach.
They're putting the game on Apple TV. I don't have Apple TV. I don't think I'm going to be able to watch this thing other than that I might have to try and figure out how to illegally stream it, which I will probably be able to figure out how to do. I don't think you'll be able to figure that out, Felger, but they're putting it on Apple TV. And by the way, ESPN and MLB Network, who have been cutting into every single one of his at-bats, they won't be allowed to break into his at-bats tonight.
Do you know that for sure? Have you
yes,
heard that?
Yes. They said Andrew Marchand of the New York Post said that earlier today.
Breaking in.
They won't break into his at-bats.
How stupid. How stupid is this?
Baseball. Why? Why do you do this to me? Why do you do this to me and people who love the game? I just want to love you. Let me love you. Why don't you love me back? That's what I want to know. Why don't you love me back, you clowns? Because Rich Hill's pitching tonight for the Red Sox, too. So you know he's going to serve up some Ephus pitch that's going to get hit about 7,000 feet. And he's going to tie Maris 61, which is a number that matters. And nobody's going to be able to watch it. Why? Why do you do this to me? And I just want to love you.
And it's not, you know, this isn't my thing about technology. We'll get to that coming up. I mean, it is stupid. Some people don't have it. And some people don't want to go through that extra layer of work to get it or to download it or to whatever. But I'm not going to give you that rant right now. I've given it to you plenty. But it's just from a baseball standpoint, you freaking idiots. I mean, the amount of people who have access to that or want to go through the rigmarole of getting it is you're costing yourself 70% of your audience. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, if let's just say there's 100% of the pie that could have gotten it if it's on cable,
right,
on ESPN. You've just cut out 70% of it, 60% of it? I don't know.
I mean, maybe even more than that.
A big number. Maybe it's 80%.
Right.
I don't know. And it's one of your most important nights.
Because how about the people who are just sitting at their TV tonight? They don't want to watch the whole game, but they want to have ESPN break in and you want to watch the at-bat. How about that crew? Because that's frankly the vast majority of the people who want to watch this thing is tell me when it's happening so I can watch the at-bat and then I'm going to go do something else. We can't even do that, you morons.
It's a cool record. I mean,
it is
breaking Roger Maris's American League home run record in Yankee Stadium
against the Red Sox.
That's
awesome.
That's a cool moment. And anyone who might have just been flipping around between channels up in that range, you know, ESPN, ESPN2, NESN, whatever, you know, they're all bunched together. You could have had it on that or on ESPN is in that little. And so someone just flipping around. Oh, yeah. Aaron Judge, I'll stop and watch this. You've just lost that guy. Yeah, they're willfully shutting out and turning their shoulder on potentially hundreds of thousands of viewers.
Maybe more.
And potential customers because they won't change it. And the MLB gave The Athletic a statement the other day. The national broadcast schedule remains the same. The game is already in prime time, they say. As a reminder, MLB games on Apple TV Plus are free and available to anyone with internet access. What if you don't want to dink around with the internet to get a baseball game? What if you just want to flip the channel and get and believe me, the baseball demo is more on my side of this. Like, I've been fiddling around with this thing all night. I can't find the game. So, like, why would they make it harder on someone to witness what is going to be one of their best moments of the year?
Because they're putting their relationship with Apple ahead of it.
I mean, that is freaking stupid. Let me grab a quick Aaron Judge call because it's on the board. Jim in the truck. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, what's going on? I was just wondering, what do you guys think is more impressive, the 61 home runs to beat the American League record or the 700 home runs that Albert Pujols is going for? I think it's Albert Pujols, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I don't.
I mean, I'll go with the career number just because, you know, you have to be consistent for a long period of time to do it. Like, you know, Maris wasn't that good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know.
No, he really wasn't.
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he really wasn't all that good. I mean, you know, he ended up in the right ballpark for him. By the way, he set the record against the Red Sox as well.
Yep.
On the last day of the year.
Yeah. So suck on that, Red Sox fans. Every time a Yankee hits 61 or 62 home runs, you're the one serving it up. Yeah, I'm being a dink, I know. So, look, again, I'll go with the career achievement there. But, honestly, it's a great story. It's a great story. And the part of the story I love more than anything is he told the Yankees to stuff it. 7 years, $213 million. Go shove it up your backside. And then he goes out and he's going to win the Triple Crown.
And break Roger Maris's record.
Oh, my gosh, what a story.
That's good.
What a story.
I mean, I think is Pujols more impressive or tougher feat? Yeah, I guess. I'm much more interested in this.
I am too. I think it's more important from a single season standpoint because you're watching one of the great offensive seasons in the history of baseball. And yeah, Pujols will be, if he gets there, you know, only four players in the history of the game to get 700. I get it. But there's this something so exciting about one special season, which is why I think 62 means more than 700.
Oh, it's a cool number. Cool record. Awesome. Enjoy it on the internet.
Oh, God.
Enjoy it on the internet if you have it. And if you don't, here, just there's all you do. To enter the platform with Maz, you need a HDMI splitter. You would need to download, log in, authenticate, make sure you got all those ducks in a row. And if anything goes wrong, don't bother calling anyone because there's no one to call. So enjoy that. Good job, baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to get it on Fubo.
Which is the subject of this week's Fuppets. That'll bring us back next segment. And then we'll get to what everyone's been waiting for. Maz's Tears.
Maz's Tears.
It's coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Maz.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, guys, you're just speaking to your remote control.
Uh-huh. Just speaking to your remote. Yeah, no problem. That's it. And then if it doesn't come on, then what? Then what? I'll call Maz. He'll show up with his wrench.
You still have to enter the platform, and it's not.
Oh, I love entering the platform. Love it.
You could probably just get an HDMI splitter.
That's a cord. This isn't cords. These are logins. This is entering a platform.
Correct. It's entry.
You can enter my tuchus.
It's going to get a little technical. You have to buy something called like a matrix, which allows you to just...
Listen! Do you hear what we're doing here? I need to get a Fire Stick to split my HDMI to enter into my matrix. Enter the platform. Then I might be able to watch the game.
No. You already have all the sources in your house. You have cable TV and you have the internet. You should be able to watch the game.
Famous last words.
Pats, Rams, and Steelers. Tell us, Tony, who's a fraud and who's for real.
These are the tears of a clown.
Maz's Tears.
The second tier.
Hold on, let me get my pen.
Maz's Tears.
Dallas. Yep. Buffalo.
Tennessee.
Maz's Tears.
Third tier.
Okay, here we go. Hold on, let me get my pen.
Maz's Tears. 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 Tears.
Okay, here we go. We usually do it Thursdays, but we were just too knee-deep with Udoka stuff yesterday.
Oh, No. We were busy. And, you know, if people want to follow the progression here, they can always, follow the tracks of my tears, so to speak.
you can catch us online, though. 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. Maz posts his tears every week, as well as Pick It and Stick It.
Yeah, Pick It and Stick It off to a good start. We had Cleveland last night. Browns beat the Steelers. You got overruled. Mommy and I picked Cleveland. Yeah. Once again, Maz was right. So we're now over 500. We went 9-7 last week. We're over 500 for the season. So to the bankroll boys and all these gamblers who think they have all the answers, suck it.
So if you want to know the Felger Mass picks for the week, go online, 985thesportshub.com or the app. You'll find our picks for the week. But more importantly, Maz's power rankings, also known as Maz's tiers.
Yes, yeah. So we're getting more aggressive with the moving bodies around because, as you said, these are really power rankings. So tier one.
Here we go.
We've lost one of the four teams. We now have only three in tier one. The Buffalo Bills, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kansas City Chiefs. That's it. Nobody else on tier one. Bills are obviously a wagon. The Chiefs just beat the Chargers at home. Tampa Bay's offense hasn't played great, but their defense looks awesome. You want me to keep going?
Tier two, please.
Okay, tier two. Packers remain on tier two. Down from tier one, Chargers and Rams. I don't think the Rams look good. The Rams don't look good at all.
And they nearly blew that game to Atlanta, right?
Really? Ugh. Again, so they don't look right to me, so they don't belong in that top tier anymore. And I moved a few teams up to tier two. The Dolphins, the Eagles, now on the second tier, along with the Bengals and Ravens, who I'm keeping there for the time being, the Bengals. And San Francisco 49ers, now in tier two.
Of course.
Because they have had a significant upgrade at quarterback, as we all know. So, time to take the Niners seriously. But the way that division looks, with the weakening of the Rams, San Francisco, to me, is the favorite to win that division. And, I would take them seriously.
Okay.
Dolphins too high. Other than that, I like it. And finally, you give the Eagles the respect they deserve.
So, those are the top 11 teams in the league. I think Miami at 2-0, just beating the Ravens on the road?
Nah. Deserves I'm not sold yet.
Tier two status.
Yeah, they're unbeaten. Yeah. Again, you know, that's a significant win for them.
I just judge harder than Maz. I'm not sold yet.
Well, we can change next week. That's what this is for.
Please move along. Tier three, please.
Okay, tier three. Three teams have dropped down. The Vikings, who got their asses kicked in Philadelphia. The Broncos, who look like garbage. And the Raiders, whom I like, but, you know, the facts are the facts. They are winless at this stage, the Raiders are. They're now in tier three, along with Tennessee, Indianapolis, the Cardinals, and the Cowboys, who've dropped down. I just don't like the way Dallas looks offensively.
Didn't they look good last week?
Yeah, but again, it's really more the offense. Defensively, they played very well. And you should give the Cowboys credit, by the way, because they have faced Brady and Burrow in the two games, and their defense has been good. I just don't know if they really have the offensive horses, even with Prescott, to be an elite team in the league this year.
Colts and Titans too high. They blow. They should be tier four. They blow.
Okay, Tennessee, I'd hang on for. Indy, I'm with McTakey on that one. But we continue. Proceed. Tier four, please.
Okay, tier four. It's a thick group now. Steelers, Patriots, Saints, Giants, the Browns, who won last night, but big deal, you beat Pittsburgh, Seattle, and the Detroit Lions and the Jags.
Oh, you've moved two of those guys up, haven't you?
I moved them up. The Jags also up to tier four. Jacksonville, to me, that was nothing to sneeze at, beating the Colts like they did. And I know the Colts have looked like garbage, but Jacksonville's been competitive in both games. I mean, they're better than, I think, the real dregs of the league. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence, high-end talent, keep an eye on them. We'll see how it goes this week. They're at the Chargers.
So that is basically, and I may be off by one, the teams ranked 18 through 26 in the league.
That's about right.
Okay. You think that's where the Pats belong?
Yep, for now.
Did you move them up or down or just stay?
Nope, they stayed right where they are. They stayed in the same tier. I can't give them a lot of credit for beating the Steelers, who blow.
Let me just, the Giants are 2-0, and yet they're in tier four?
Correct.
With, like, the Browns?
Yeah, so their last win was against Carolina. It was 19-16. I mean, I don't know that. Now, they beat Tennessee in week one, so I should probably give them more credit for that, but I'm just not sold on the Giants yet. Again, Carolina sucks. They're winless.
So Tennessee's in tier three. And they lost to the Giants, who are in tier four.
Correct.
Doesn't feel like...
consistent?
Nope.
Or it doesn't feel right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, next week we'll call it Felger's tiers.
These are Mads' tiers. Here's the bottom tier, tier five, please.
Okay, these are the suck bag teams in the league. And for all intents and purposes, they're going to stay there, barring some sort of miracle. Panthers, Falcons, Jets, Texans, Commanders, and Bears. I'll give you one team to keep an eye on. Washington could move out of there. Let's see what happens. Do you realize Carson Wentz is tied for the league lead in touchdown passes, second in the league in yards?
What? I did not. Who knew?
Carson Wentz is playing extremely well for the Commanders. And this week at home against his former team with Philadelphia. So to me, this is a game that could tell us a lot about Wentz. Because if he plays well, then maybe he's sort of refocused and regained some of what he had at the beginning of his career. If he gets exposed, well, then he's the fraud we thought he was. So I would keep an eye on them. But again, I don't think any of those teams are going anywhere.
Okay, we got Pats, Maz's Tears. We've got Aaron Judge. And, of course, we've got the Udoka situation and the fallout following today's press conference. Chris Gasper is going to push back his stint a little bit, 4:30 to 5:30, and come in studio. So we'll pick it up with your calls on everything right after McCarthy gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.